your homes too can become what you desire for them to be. Hallelujah. There is a sermon outline in your bulletin for those of you who would like to follow along. What's the title of today's message? Investment Tips for Wives. For those of you who weren't here last week who say, why ain't you going to say something about the husband? Should have been at church last week. Pastor Toby already covered that one. You can still get the DVD to make it happen. I think I'm going to make some CDs of that message so that every time I'm on a long trip, I can just pop it in and try to remember it all over again. Investment Tips for Wives. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at your word this morning, speak to our hearts. Challenge us to become the men, women, boys, girls of faith that you desire for us to be, that Jesus might have his way in each of us. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Now, this may be an R-rated sermon for some of you because we do mention the word sex several times in this message. So if you can't handle it, now's the time to jump up and pretend like you got to run to the bathroom. All right. Now the Word of God says, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. It also tells us to rejoice in the wife of your youth. Now when we think of a love story, so often we think of this young couple that's just, you know, looking at each other and we see their wedding or whatever. And that's about all we see of that falling in love. But I want us to see a love story that began in youth and ended all the way in the old age. There's a song, love song here, that I want to read to you. It says, looking back, he sees it all. It was her first date the night he came to call. Her dad said, son, have her home on time and promise me you'll never leave her side. He took her to a show in town and he was 10 feet off the ground. He was walking her home and holding her hand. Oh, the way she smiled, it stole the breath right out of him. Down that old road with the stars up above, he remembers where he was the night he fell in love. He was walking her home. 10 more years in a waiting room at 1:30, and the doctor came in and said, come and meet your son. His knees went weak when he saw his wife. She was smiling as she said, he's got your eyes. And as she slept, he held her tight. His mind went back to that first night when he was walking her home. The chorus goes on. He walked her through the best days of her life. 60 years together, and he never left her side. A nursing home at 85. And the doctor said it could be her last night. And the nurse said, oh, should we tell him now? Or should we wait until the morning for him to find out? They checked her room that night. He was laying by her side. Oh, he was walking her home and holding her hand. Oh, the way she smiled when he said, this is not the end. Just for a while, they were 18. And she was still more beautiful to him than anything. He was walking her home. He was walking her home. Looking back, he sees it all. It was her first date, the night he came to call. We have a couple that's in our midst that sort of been able to live out this song. And I want us to watch it on video to see what true love really is.
Looking back, he sees it all. It was her first day, the night he came to call. And her dad said, son, have her home on time. Promise me you'll never leave her side. Took her to a show in town. He was 10 feet off the ground as he was walking her home, holding her hand. Oh, the way she smiled, it stole the breath right out of him. Walking up. came to call.
Tells us when it comes to marriage, there are two kinds of women. There is the wise one, and there is the foolish one. And what they do, or what separates them, is the actions that they take in their homes. One is a builder, the other is a destroyer. Now, we like to think that they are two separate people, but the reality is they actually blend in to one. And it's a matter of which one are you going to allow to shine? Both of them must live in that place that is either being built up or torn down. And notice that there is no neutral place where things are just staying the same. It's either being built up or it's being torn down. And notice that this house does not automatically happen. We are deceived into thinking that as long as you just love each other, everything is going to work out fine. That's not what the scriptures tell us. The word build suggests some hard work and some sweat is going to take place. The word build means a cost is going to be involved for the materials. No, love alone is not enough. You've got to have some wisdom and some actions to go along with it. A wise woman has taken the time to look, to listen, and to learn from others who have wisdom and insight. She recognizes that somebody else has journeyed down this road before and that she can learn from the things they did right as well as the things they did wrong. She seeks new opportunities from which to learn and to grow. Now, a foolish woman says whatever she feels like saying and does whatever she feels like doing at the given moment. She does not fully think through the consequences of her actions, and she is actually surprised by how much damage has been done until it's too late to repair the process. Now, my goal here is provide you with some tips to help you in the building of your home and to provide you some advice on becoming a wise woman so that that's the kind of wife you can be to your husband. Now, the first thing I need for you to recognize is this. Your husband is a man, which means he is not a woman. He is a man. He is not a woman. What does that mean? It means he does not think like you think. He does not hear what you hear. He does not see what you see. And he does not feel what you feel. If you want him to understand you, you have got to offer him a lot of help. How many of you men will say, I need help from y'all? I need it. We need help from y'all. Okay? It is not that we are trying to get on your last nerve. We simply do not have a clue to what is really going on. Our minds focus on things totally different from yours. Let me give you an example with Exhibit A. This is Exhibit A. What is this? This is a laundry basket. Okay, so you've gotten this laundry basket, and you take this laundry basket and you put it there at the top of the stairs. There's a reason you put it there. There's a good reason you put it there. You even know why you put it there. You put it there for a reason. Now, when he comes to go downstairs, he goes down. He comes back up. He goes down. He comes back up. He goes down. He says, oh, there's a basket there. I wonder if it's going upstairs or downstairs. I don't know. He goes home. Now, when you come, you are, let's say, got a little bit of the enemy inside of you, and you, I cannot believe that laundry basket is still there. So you go and you say, didn't you see that laundry basket? And he's trying to figure out, which one is she talking about this time? He did not see it because his mind is not focused on laundry. His mind is focused on whatever he wants it to be focused on. So, it's not that he is trying to get you angry and upset. The brother didn't see it. What should you do if you want to translate what's in your mind to his? Tell him. Don't just sit the laundry there. Unless you got a big note saying, wash this, put it in the dryer. My wife has learned that. Yesterday when I went into the bathroom, she told you about how she leaves me notes each morning. Some of them say how wonderful you are and how loving you are. Some of them say, take the basket of laundry downstairs. Put them in the washer and take the ones in the washer out and put them in the dryer. You know why she said all that? Because she know I would just take the thing downstairs and go on with what I'm doing. It's not that I'm intentionally trying to get on her last nerve. My mind is somewhere else. Now you got a choice. You can believe that we are smarter than we really are and get you an attitude like nobody's business. Or you can say, the boy just needs some help. He didn't see it. I'm going to go ahead and put it in. And you know the next time you are going to give specific instruction. Exhibit number two. We do not hear what you hear. There you are at a family gathering, having a good time laughing and talking with the family. And here come old Crazy Willie. Crazy Willie always says something crazy. Conversation is going on, and after a while you notice that your wife is a little bit distant. And you say, well, honey, is there anything wrong? And what do you women say? No, there's nothing wrong. And because we as men are dumb, what would we do? We believe y'all, and we think everything is fine. Until we get in bed that night and we reach over there and hit an ice cube bigger than you ever seen in your life. Now you really got our attention. Are you sure nothing is wrong? Now y'all ready to tell us the truth. I can't believe you didn't say nothing when your cousin Willie said what he did to me. And we're thinking, what did the boy say this time? And we're thinking, Crazy Willie is crazy. The boy says something crazy to everybody. And what do you say? There you go, taking your family side again. Why don't you be concerned with my feelings and how I feel about this situation? Now, we think that what we need to do is explain how Crazy Willie was crazy last year and the year before that, and the boy always will be crazy. We want to slap him upside the head because he's about to mess up a very good night. What you really want from us is an affirmation that you love us. You agree that he shouldn't have said whatever it was he said, and be comforted. That's what you want. But that ain't what you asked us, said to us. What you said to us was, I can't believe you let Crazy Willie say what he said and he didn't, and you didn't say anything about it. It takes us a long time to get from interpreting, I need your love and tenderness out of these words. We miss the real issue here is that you've been hurt. And if we knew that was the real issue, we would try to do something about it. Now, you have a choice. You can believe that we are smarter than we are and hold on to the ice and say, you can just stay on over there on that side of the bed with your crazy cousin if you want to. Or you can see that we were inadvertently missing what it was you had seen. Now, point number two. One of the main reasons a man gets married is to have sex with his wife. Now, I know those of us who are Christian, man, we get spiritual every now and then. I feel as though the Lord would have me have her. Now, a foolish woman is going to give him sex before marriage. And then she wonders why he's not interested in setting a date. If we are already getting what we want, you see, men and women see marriage different. We as men see marriage as a contract. We do this in order to get that. It is not until we have been married for a number of years that we begin to appreciate the richness in the emotional bond of marriage and the joy of being united in purpose with this person. For us as men, most of us, there's a few of us who are more advanced, but most of us, we think that when the marriage has taken place, the relationship has been built. You all know when the marriage has taken place, now it's time to build the relationship. So that is why we as men are much happier in marriage than you are, because we married to get sex. You married to build a relationship. Which one is easier to fulfill? So that's why you got, man, my man, marriage is fine. And because it's the relationship that needs to be built, when you start saying there's a problem in the marriage, what do you mean there's a problem in the marriage? Somebody needs to change? You change. Why? Yeah, because we happy with this like it is. It is a teaching process for us to learn. It's in the building of the relationship that the real joy takes place in marriage. That's why young guys, I'd be back there in pioneer class saying, my wife and I have been married 27 years, and you still want to be with the same person? Because they think the joy is in hopping in bed. The joy is in getting to know this other person and building something that only the two of you share. Now, when men think of marriage, like I said, they think of sex. They also think of sex. And they also think of more sex. As a matter of fact, they see this endless supply of it. And we have no idea that the richness of the sex is tied to the deepening of the emotional bond between the husband and the wife. That is why husbands can be angry with their wives at 9 o'clock and ready to jump in bed at 9:03. And when they do, y'all, I know you ain't serious. I just know. Not that any of our women would have one of these by the bed. Somebody said they used to. We need your help in learning this and in understanding this. And all you young teenagers who think that because you done seen such and such a video and you just know all about love, you ain't got a clue. You ain't got a clue what's waiting on you. We need your help in learning how to tie the richness of sex with the sharing of the emotional bond. When we are one in these, now here's what you need to do. When we are one in that emotional bond that day, and we real, real close to each other, that night, just go all out when you get him in bed. Put on one of them sexy outfits. Some of them don't want you in no outfit at all, but that's between you and him. And just have the time of your life with us in bed that night. And then afterwards, you know, I really, really enjoy what we did. And then you say, tell us, but you know something? It wasn't the technique, it wasn't the outfit, it wasn't the position, but it was because of how close and intimate we were with each other all day long. And if you do that, we finally will make the connection. Treat her loving and kind to the day, during the day, super night that night. Treat her loving kindness with gentleness during the day, super day at night. You see, we need to know that super day at night is that you will be surprised at how well we can change. The Bible tells us we owe sex to each other as husbands and wives. Foolish woman is going to say in a minute, ain't no use you coming over here tonight because you did so and so. Wise woman is going to use it as a teaching. One of the greatest things my wife taught me about being upset at night is a bad evening does not have to turn into a bad night. It's just a matter of you humbling yourself and admitting you was wrong so that you can become one again, and then you can move on just like all that other stuff earlier in the day did not happen. God gave us the gift of sex as a means of discovering each other for many, many years to come. Now, remember, most men expect to have more sex than most of you imagine. Those of you who are 17 and 16 and 15 and you, ooh, if I don't get started now, I might miss out on something. Child, you got years and years and years. When your husband gets to be 50, gonna be knocking. 60, he gonna be knocking. 70, he will be knocking. 80, 90, you gotta be saying, Jesus, take the boy home. So don't think that you are somehow not gonna be able to have enough opportunities. Just save yourself there for marriage and you're gonna get all the opportunity you want. You also have to learn what each other's needs are. You are the greatest specialist on what pleases you. Let your husband know, because most of us as men are going on heard say knowledge. You know what heard say knowledge is? We heard somebody else say, this is what you're supposed to do. And most of the time we heard it in the locker room. We heard it out on the playground when we was all huddled with each other. How many of you know we ain't learned nothing there? So you've got to be willing to say, I like this, I don't like that. I like this, I don't like that. You done saw somebody blow in somebody's ear. See, I may not want you blowing in her ear. Some of you like to have your little tongue on the person's ear. Oh. Some people disgust that. Some people want people biting on their neck. My wife will slap me side the head if I try to bite her on the neck. Some people like you rubbing all over them. I got very sensitive skin. You rub on me like this, it just turns my insides out. Now, if you don't tell this to the other person and you pretend like you like something that you don't like, You're going to put up with it for 20 years before you burn it. I'm sick and tired of you doing this. Stop torturing yourself and tell him right now, don't do that no more. Another investment tip is have the ability to forget our mistakes when we have asked you for forgiveness and repented of what we have done. Constantly bringing up things that we thought we had resolved is like a crane with a wrecking ball smashing into the side of a house. Each time you bring up that thing, yeah, you did this and you did that and you did that. And it is important for you to bring it up when it happened, not 2 weeks later when we really don't have a clue what it is that you are upset about. All we know is there is a crack in the relationship, because when we reach and touch you, there's not quite the response we got before. But when we say something wrong, no, ain't nothing wrong, and you keep this up, and then after a while, you know what happens to us? The devil rises up. Well, is she gonna act like that? All right then. Next thing you know, she asks you, well, what's wrong? Ain't nothing wrong with me. Something wrong with you? Ain't nothing wrong with me. So you got two people with nothing wrong who can't hardly speak to each other politely. Better to go ahead and say what the problem is. And remember, a lot of times we as husbands have no clue as to what it is if it involves something with relationships. If you don't tell us what it is, we probably won't know. Now, if you find yourself saying, well, I shouldn't have to tell you, you just ought to know, or anybody in their right mind could see, or when you start saying things like, you're venturing into the realm of the foolish woman. I just told you we are dumb. I just told you we miss out on a lot of stuff. So if you got, you ought to know. Well, I ought to, but I don't. We need your help. Quit giving us credit for being smarter than we really are. Now, when we ask you forgiveness, do not say you forgive us and intend to bring it back up later. If you are not able to forgive at that moment, you tell us, honey, I'm not over this yet, but I'm trying. I'm going to make it by God's grace. Okay? You've put us on notice that you have been really hurt by whatever it is we have done, and we know that you are still working through this. So we're not assuming this has all been resolved. Because what happens is, we as men feel betrayed when the next time we have a disagreement, you take us through a whole litany of what we did wrong for the last 5 months. Can you imagine how your love for God would grow cold if each time you went before God to ask for forgiveness, God, oh, now here she come again. Oh, man, don't you remember last Saturday when you did that? And then last Tuesday you did this and you did that and you did that? Bible says in Proverbs 17:9, he who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. We are called to be close friends in marriage. How many of you could have a best friend for long who kept reminding you of your failures and all the times you hurt them in the past? How many of you would find you another best friend? Oh, some of y'all more holy than I am out there. Another investment tip is to be generous with your admiration and appreciation. We as husbands need to know that you are proud of us and you are going to build us up in the eyes of others. Now, you know our strengths and you know our weaknesses. You have the power to shape what other people think about us. A foolish woman will tell you in a minute, he is what he is, and that's all that he is when it comes to him. A wise woman will be selective in what she shares and who she shares it with. She's going to look for some of the good tell others of his positive qualities. She'll tell him what she really likes about him. You know what really makes a man feel good inside? Is when another guy will come up and say, man, your wife be bragging on you about this and bragging on you about that. You need to cut it out. You're making it hard for the rest of us. Man, we ready to go buy you some flowers, some shoes, and whatever else it is that you want. Now, if you go around, ain't saying nothing because I don't want him to get no big head. Foolish woman. Sometimes what you say about us does get back around to us. Wouldn't you rather it be something good that you said about us? Now, I know it's hard for some of y'all to believe this, but some of us as men are trying harder than you ever know that we are actually trying. We are not happy with our failings. We are not happy with our mistakes. We are not happy with our shortcomings. We really are trying. We need Jesus just like you do, because we're juggling a whole lot of things. The foolish woman goes around saying stuff like, I don't even know why you're still here. Why don't you just leave and go be with your friends since you want to be with them? But what are you sticking around here for anyways? Seems like you done gave up on this marriage. Which each of these statements comes the wrecking ball, tearing down a piece of the house. You should never suggest that the other person leave unless you truly want them out. Because if you suggest it often enough, discouragement is going to set in. And it is going to come to a point where the person is going to leave. And then you're going to say, I can't believe this happened to me. A wise woman recognizes that her husband is far from perfect, but he is a gift from God, and that while she's in the marriage, she's going to give her very best to make it work. Now, sometimes giving your very best may not be enough if the other person refuses to change. But you still have the satisfaction of knowing that when you stand before God, you can still expect to hear the words, well done. Because the only person we can change is ourselves. Another investment tip is to be grateful and learn the life of appreciation. Trying to be a good wife is a tough job, but trying to be a good husband is a tough job. When you say things like, you never do your part around here. You always put everybody else ahead of us. What have you done for me and the kids? You never take my feelings into account. You always get your way. If you cared anything about me, then... Now, we as men, we take these words, you always, you never, if you cared anything, very logically. Okay, and what do we start doing? We remember when we did X, we remember when we did Y, we remember when we did J, we remember when we did whatever. So we become very discouraged because you don't seem to appreciate the little bit that we did do right. And I know for some of us it is just a little bit, but it is a little bit. Now you don't actually mean those words when you say them, because most of the time when you say them, you're upset about it. But we are discouraged by them, because again, it's like saying we don't get credit for what we do. How should you handle it? You should say to us, I need you to help me with this work. I need you to help me with the kids. I need you to give me more of your time. I need you to understand my feelings. You see how that takes the defensiveness away from us? Rather than saying, you never do this. And we're thinking, I know I did it 16 times last year. But when you tell me, I need you to help, whole different spirit. I can admit, you know, well, maybe I haven't been doing what I need to be doing. why the Bible warns us against letting a root of bitterness get in there, and we have been commanded not to be harsh with our wives. Being appreciative and verbally acknowledging us to others is the way the wise woman seeks to build her home. With each positive statement, she secures another shingle in the roof on the top of the house to keep the rain from entering the roof of her house. Her marriage continues to be a warm and loving place, protected from the outside elements. Another investment tip is to use the gift God has given you to complement rather than compete in your marriage. A healthy husband will view you as his greatest asset. You have ideas, you have opinions that need to be shared. However, you need to learn to study your husband to know when and where to share them. Now, sometimes we as husbands, we come up with some ideas that seriously need some help. Amen. Any of you got husbands who done came up with some ideas that were just plain crazy? Don't embarrass them by raising your hand. A lot of times we don't think through the relationship aspect of this great idea that we have. But don't just come right out and say, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. You can say it on the inside, but smile while you said it on the inside. And then kind of point out, well, you know, I can see a little good here. And then tell us, but have you thought about such and such? Have you thought about such and such? And then we'll begin to recognize, hey, we hadn't thought about that. And let me give you this advice. Do it in a voice that is somewhat neutral. You see, we as men, we have a problem with there being a harshness in our tone that we don't detect. Because when we talk to other men, a lot of times we kind of talk harsh to each other. And we forget we're not talking to other guys. We are talking to our wives. And so we have to change. And it ain't always easy for us to change. So we have to be aware of that harshness. But you as women, you have to work on the accusatory tone that is in your voice at times that you don't recognize. It's just like if we come down in a plaid suit with a green polka dot tie and a psychedelic shirt, and y'all say, you ain't gonna wear that thing outside, are you? Well, of course we were. Don't you see us getting ready to go outside? A better way to approach that situation would be, you know, honey, that brown suit would look much better with you with the occasion you are going to with that. So, sometimes even asking us, did you take out the trash? There's, did you take out the trash? And there, did you take out the trash? Which one of them do you think just causes something to rise up inside of us? And then you call and tell your girl, child, I don't know why you're upset. All I said was, would you take out the trash? How many of you married couples have said, but that ain't how you said it? Yeah. Okay, so we know something about that tone that we have in our voices. Another investment tip is to remember, as big and grown up as we appear on the outside, we are still little boys on the inside. We still need for you to play with us at times. We still need space for us to just be crazy and silly at times. We still even need for you to let us get a toy sometimes that you think is absolutely ridiculous and a waste of money and time. As long as it don't break the budget, let us have a toy every now and then. You see, you all have an incredible power over us when you use it to your advantage. How many of you ever seen that commercial on TV where the guy, he's all ready to watch the football game and his wife says, honey, did you get the insurance quote? And he says, yeah, here it is. And he's got one quote. and he's all ready for that game, and she grabs the remote and turns the TV off, and he just wants to start crying because he knows he's got to go do the insurance. But I see that, I'm like thinking, that is just so true. When you love your wife and she done told you to do something and you know you only did it halfway, and she comes and takes whatever you're doing, it's that little boy inside all over again. And I don't know how many men fear the words when their wife look at them and say, we got to talk. You just as worried about what have I done this time and what's going to happen. On the outside, you're talking, you're talking, you're talking. Please. Sometimes we also need for you to do just little unexpected things to show us that you really do love us. We need to know that you love us. We need to know that you think we still attractive. Pull your glasses off if you have to. Something to give us a little encouragement to, yeah, you're looking better than I see you looking a long time. We need your encouragement and your support. And if you have to, just pray, Lord, forgive me, but the brother needed some help. Do some little things on your own for us that make us feel special. I think I shared with you a couple of weeks ago. I don't know when my wife started, but one day she just decided that every time I come to get ready to go to bed, she's got a towel out, she's got a face cloth out, she's got the pajamas or underwear that I'm supposed to put on, so that I'm just walking in the bathroom and walk out. There's nothing I can do to deserve that. That's just something she does. And when she was telling you last week about all the different outfits and stuff, she wasn't lying. My wife, every night, comes to bed looking like $1 million. Sometimes it gets on my nerves that she's in the bathroom so long. It's like, just come out the bathroom. Because I like to go to sleep early. She's a late sleeper. Okay? Me. I hate shaving with a passion. Oh, I hate shaving. But I shave every night. Why? Because I want to look best for my wife. And if in the middle of the day you go, he sure needs to shave. He ain't trying to look good for you. Why do you go out into the world in the morning looking like $1 million to impress people who ain't gonna do nothing for you, and then you're gonna come to bed with your hair all wrapped up and your eyes you can't see and cream and everything else on your face? Just an investment tip to keep your life exciting. Show this other person you really are special to me. Now, other than Jesus Christ, my wife is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me. She has shown me more about the love of Christ than anybody else I know. And I know in the scriptures it says, husbands, lay down your lives for your wives. And I can honestly say, my wife has laid down her life more times for me in the past 27 years than I probably could catch up in the next 20. My final investment tip for wives is to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart and simply do what he tells you to do in relationship to your husband. That's where you are going to find the strength to build your home, because you're going to need a lot of forgiveness. You're going to need a lot of love. You're going to need a lot of work in order to hold all those walls and